Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And hey, Joe, you know, you never mentioned there in Missouri, Attorney General sues the woke school board outside St. Louis for violating open meeting laws when making transgender policies. Wentzville is a small Missouri city of 45,000 people. It is a fast-growing suburb around St. Louis.
Yeah.
And so it hosts an annual Renaissance Fair for the people in the area. It's a part of the St. Charles County, Missouri, that went solidly for Trump both in 2016 and 2020. So locals are asking, why is their school board committed to pushing a pro-transgender agenda throughout its school system? Turns out that the woke school board decided to push the transgender agenda without following Missouri law, which caught the attention of the Missouri Attorney General, who filed suit against the Wentzville School Board this week. Praise the good Lord for that, huh?
Right. We've had great attorney generals here in Missouri, but like you said, just found out about it. Some of that stuff they try and keep as quiet as possible, don't they?
Yep. Republicans
will press, you know, a lot of stories don't get out there, and sometimes we're very fortunate that there's still a few good journalists and a few people that find things and get it out there in the public eye.
Here, Republicans release another incriminating WhatsApp message from Hunter Biden to Jim Biden. Yeah, they got another one talking about ways of the big guy getting the money. At least 10 times, Joe Biden lied to the American people that he never spoke to his family about their business dealings. Cromer said he lied by telling the American people that there was an absolute wall between his official government duties and his personal life. But then they find out tape recording after tape recording, email, all kinds, that he was in on it all the time. That Obama, Joe Biden was in on the whole deal along, you know, he was guiding them.
Sure, he met with people on dinners. He had dinner with the Moscow's mayor's wife, and she was the only one that got a pardon or got left out of something. I mean, like you said, there's so many things he's done. The proof is already there. There's more than enough proof to me to have him convicted.
And they found newly released messages to Chinese business executives where he was trading his brand, preserving the keys to my family, the only asset being Joe Biden. Representative Jason Smith said, the Biden family sold access to Joe Biden's power, and the Biden DOJ protected Biden brand. Yeah, that's all that they do. They're doing it because they've got the word. Merrick Garland, the most corrupt attorney general in the whole history of the United States. The very most corrupt. There's no one that's even close to him. He's lied under oath how many times? Unbelievable. Okay. I got to do something here, Joe. We had the Tea Party meeting tonight, and there's a good turnout of people, and the speaker was talking about what's coming, the Ohio vote no in November. The heat, it's really heating up here between the light and the dark, between the righteous and the unrighteous. I want to just read to you. This is legislative. Now, this is the proposed amendment, and this is actually the wording by the Ohio Supreme Court, because this was brought to them. So let's take a listen to some of this, Joe. Show you how wicked, how deceptive the ACLU, who put this together, completely corrupt, not a bit of light in their darkness. You know, this, it's like they went down and they knocked on the gates of hell and they asked Satan, listen, you know, Papa, we need some help for you on this one. But here you go. Be it resolved by the people of the state of Ohio that Article 1 of the Ohio Constitution be amended to the following section. Article 1, Section 22, the right to reproductive freedom with protections for health and safety. Okay. Now, I'm going to want you to listen very closely, Joan, and tell me what's missing in this, okay? Every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions, including but not limited to decisions on contraception, fertility, treatment, continuing one's pregnancy, miscarriage care, and abortion. Now, let me ask you something here, Joe. Okay, there's one word missing from all of this. What do you think that one word is?
Missing. I was thinking the one thing that didn't fit in there was abortion. Everything else was, but abortion was what stood out. But the word missing was...
Okay, here, let me ask you this.
Each person.
Okay. Every individual, okay, every individual, Joe... A five-year-old boy is an individual, is he not?
Every female.
Well, the word is supposed to be woman. It's supposed to be woman, but woman is not even mentioned. The word woman is not even in this.
Every person, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, who has miscarriages, Joe? Women. Who has abortions, Joe?
Female sex.
Right. Okay, so, but now they're adding here, every individual has the right to make and carry out one's decisions. Now, so they use the word individual instead of every woman or every person. Now,
right.
Joe, let me ask you this. Let's reword this. Every individual has the right to own and carry firearms for his own protection.
What, still wrong, because children, little boys, little girls should not be carrying firearms.
Yeah, but you know how many people are going to think about this? It's going to go over their head. They're not going to think about it. Now listen to this one.
I used to see the liberals use words as weapons, and they use that so frequently that everybody finds it normal language, and they miss the meaning of it.
These devils, the ACLU and these devils that are running this, Joe, are running the most deceptive ads on television. You just wouldn't believe it, okay? Now he goes on to say, the state shall not, now listen carefully. The state shall not directly or indirectly burden, penalize, prohibit, interfere with, or discriminate against either, here we go, an individual's voluntary exercise of this right, a person or entity that assists an individual exercising this right. In other words, Joe, let's just say you have a 13-year-old girl who's pregnant, right? And she doesn't know what to do. She's been told it that she shouldn't be pregnant because she's really a boy, you see? So she's got a friend of hers who happens to be a boy, but has been told that she's actually a girl. And she knows, if I have this baby, then everybody will know that I'm not a boy. And so I've got to do something about the baby. And so now here, under this, that 13-year-old can assist in killing that child. You don't have to be a licensed physician. Under this, well, let me read it again. The state shall not directly or indirectly burden, penalize, prohibit, interfere with it, or discriminate against either an individual's voluntary exercise of this right or any person or entity that assists an individual exercising. So in other words, you cannot, in effect, if the 13-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl is assisting in aborting this baby, if you try to interfere, you would be the one who gets prosecuted. Now let me ask you this, though, Joe. Isn't a baby an individual?
Yeah, a baby is.
So if the baby is an individual, then it has its own rights, reproductive rights, don't it?
That's what it says. Yeah, words have meanings, right? Words definitely have meanings.
Okay, here you go. Unless the state...
That words are the weapon of this new warfare that the socialists are using to take over, to take us over. Words are their weapon of choice in this new battle.
Twisting words. Making them say what they don't say and mean what they don't mean. Unless the state demonstrates that it is using the least restrictive means to advance the individual's health in accordance with the widely accepted evidence-based standards of care. Now, listen to this. However, abortion may be prohibited after fetal viability. Now, listen to this. But in no case may such an abortion be prohibited if the professional judgment of the pregnant patient's treating physician is necessary to protect the pregnant patient's life or health. Let me ask you, Joe. Any individual that would kill unborn babies, any individual that would kill an innocent child, what is it they wouldn't do? Is there any crime
they wouldn't do? If you kill an innocent child, there isn't much in this world you wouldn't do.
And so do you think that individual would lie and say, yes, absolutely, in my opinion, if she has this baby, it will be a threat to her life?
Well, of course, they've already been doing that for a long time. That was always, health of the mother was the one thing they could always say, well, we're worried about it affect her, even her mental health. So she's got to be able to have this abortion.
And so these people, these abortionists, they're the same social status, I would say, as the ACLU and Planned Parenthood and these people. In the prison system, Joe, in the prison system, you have ground floor. The highest, the most respected in the prison system are white-collar crimes, and especially hitmen. They're some of the highest, those that, believe it or not. But those, the most disrespected, are pedophiles, except there's one floor that's below that, and that's abortionists. They have to put the abortionists, they have to put them in isolation, or solitary, because even the pedophiles will kill an abortionist.
Wow.
They're so hated in the prison system. And so, as far as I'm concerned, you know, most Democrats have the same, just unbelievable, the same moral standards. Anyone who would vote for Joe Biden as a bloody abortionist. Here you go. However, abortion...
Supporting you vote for anyone like that, you are what? Supporting the killing of the children of God, children created in the image of God himself. I mean, you're doing one of the things that aggravates God the most, and by your voting for that person, you're giving your consent, your open consent to murder.
What if you kill your baby with one of these, with RU486, one of the death pills? Is it still murder, Joe?
It's still murder.
So now, let me ask you this.
Done it.
What does God's word, what does God say is the judgment on these women that have killed their babies, whether it's by pill or however form of abortion they use? What does God's word say that they deserve?
The wages of sin is death.
So, let me ask you this.
There's there's no compromise. There's no if, maybes, or kind ofs, or anything like that. It's clear.
So these people say, well, you know, according to NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, abortion is acceptable. We accept it. How do you think God thinks about that?
God doesn't care what they say. He's already ruled, and his rule is for eternity, that thou shalt not, must not, cannot, will not shed innocent blood.
All right, so all of those fools that work at...
child is pretty innocent.
All of those fools that work at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, are they going to stand before God, or is God going to stand before them on Judgment Day?
They're going to stand before God. He doesn't bow to anyone.
Okay, so do you think they're kind of clueless to this?
I think the, what does the scripture say, something about the God of this world has so blinded them that they cannot see the truth of the gospel?
Yeah.
They are totally blinded by the devil. They cannot see the truth, or they deny it, don't want to believe it, so they just, they're in denial, or they're just blinded and cannot see it, one or the other.
I had a friend of mine who was a chaplain, known for years, and he ended up going to this school and the prison ministry school, but it's a national, and they really conform their, they compromise. I mean, really compromise. But one day we were discussing, we were talking, and they so misrepresent Romans 13, they so pervert Romans 13, that he actually said to me, and this is back during when George Bush was in, was the president, he actually said to me, if Jesus Christ was here right now today, he would obey George Bush. Because the Romans
what?
13, yeah, I'm not kidding you.
He, oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's about the worst, the weirdest thing I've heard in a long time, that Jesus would obey. He obeys one person, that's the Father.
The apostate church so misrepresents, this neo-evangelical, so misrepresented Romans 13 because so many of these prissy preachers do not have the courage to preach it as it, it, what it really means, the way it, and it means exactly what it says. That they turn to that to try to justify not having the courage to stand against a very, very corrupt government. You know what I think we're going to do? I think we're going to open the phone lines, take some calls. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. We're going to open the phone lines now and take some calls at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673, because we really haven't opened the phone lines early for a while.
No, and here, we have. I'm going to, while you're waiting the first call, the Kamala Harris was supposed to have sworn in that LaFonza Butler to fill Dianne Feinstein's seat. Notice they did it so quickly, everybody's complaining that, wait a minute, she doesn't live there, she didn't vote there, she didn't pay, you know, her home is Silver Springs, Maryland, you know, her office is in Washington, D.C., she lives in that suburbs, and they, you know, got her sworn in real quick. Even though she's not qualified to represent California, they said, "Oh well, she'll you know move there. She'll start paying." Well,
wait a minute. Why? There. Why isn't she qualified? She's black, isn't she? And she's a lesbian, isn't she? And she's a woman, isn't she?
Well, she's qualified that way, but
and she hates God. She hates white men.
Yeah,
she hates white men. She's racist, and she hates God.
God.
And how do we know that? Well, the Bible says all of those that hate God love death, and she's been a pro-death, pro-abortion activist. And so,
adult life.
California government, that's, I mean, she'll fit right in. The state and the Senate in California, they're as corrupt
and
goes.
And, of course, disobeys state laws, so that makes a perfect candidate because she ignores the laws that determine who can be senator from the state. So, perfect candidate.
Yep, for California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's going to get them people, Joe. God is going to get them. They just don't get it. You reap what you sow, huh?
Well, we talked about how bad the crime was in San Francisco, and now according to the Daily Mail, homeless pirates are marauding through the crime-ridden San Francisco Bay. They've been they've had to rescue people in the middle night. Pirates have been slashing rigging lines and sailboats, smash and grab on larger vessels, leaving people floating out to sea after they've been robbed, all kinds of bad things going on. And all over the marina there in the San Francisco Bay, multiple vessels stolen, ransacked, you know. And so now you can't even be safe on an expensive boat in the harbor.
Yep. Well, there you go. Well, now, do you think maybe now since some of the congressmen are being carjacked there and attacked in D.C.,
yeah.
and I heard the mayor, the corrupt mayor, the corrupt, the very, very corrupt, the extremely corrupt mayor, was saying this all this crime is because of poor policies. Well, it was her policies. It was her policies, okay? But isn't that exactly what a Democrat would do and say?
Yeah, the policy. So we're going to have to make some adjustments here and fix the problem now when it's got so overwhelming they can't ignore it, can't hide from it.
Already.
It's almost comical. It'd be almost funny if it wasn't so serious, if so many people hadn't been killed, murdered, hurt, you know.
Already. We got a full board lit up, Joe. Who do we have? Let's go to San Diego. We got Jack out in San Diego. Jack, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Yes, so tonight the Speaker of the House seat is vacant, third in line to the presidency, and tomorrow there is a nationwide test of the emergency broadcasting system. It's going to happen around 11 a.m., and it will affect cell phones, radio, and TV.
Okay. 11 a.m.
Well,
probably.
Speaker Patrick McHenry is now Speaker of the Speaker Pro Tem, so he's already been put in place.
Yeah, you know, they talked about that. He's not in line for secession, not as Pro Tem, so he's not Speaker of the House.
Right, he's Pro Tem, but they still have somebody after that.
So here's my question: they have to jump to the next guy. Joe, do you know who that would be? Is that something you can look up on your computer?
Oh, I'm trying to remember who's after Speaker. Yeah, I guess I should know that. Long ago in the past, I did. Somebody in the Senate, isn't it?
I just think it's a little bit irresponsible to test the emergency broadcast system all at the same time when you're using TV, radio, and your cell phones. It would be a perfect time for a terrorist attack, and everybody's going to think it's just a test.
Well, you're probably right. So what are you going to do? Are you going to turn your cell phone off at this time and put it way far away from you?
If you remember, I don't use a cell phone.
Okay.
I'm calling you on a landline.
Well, they're saying that these things, you could have some of these cell phones could actually put out such radiation or whatever that... you really need to get as far away from them as you can. But anyhow, thanks for calling. I don't know what I might do with mine. I know there are some Democrats that live not far from me. Maybe I'll just leave it in their yard. I don't know. What do you think? Let's go to Natalie in Massachusetts. Natalie, you're in the air.
And then it goes President Pro Tem of the Senate. After the Speaker of the House, it's the President Pro Tem of the Senate. That's what I thought. And then goes to one of the cabinet secretaries. I can't remember which one.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Hello, Natalie. You're in there.
How are you tonight?
We're okay. How are you?
Good, thank you. The reason I called, I had called previously, maybe 6 months ago. You're so busy. And between your shoulder thing and all, I figured maybe you didn't get the message. But I really think there's going to be a problem in 2024. In 2014, in Pennsylvania, there was a beautiful all-black calf born in the state of Pennsylvania and had a perfect white 7 on its face. The same year, 2014, now those were the years we had the blood moons, the 2014-2015 cycle, the four blood moons on Passover and Sukkot, the first of the feasts, and the last of the feats. And smack in the middle, we had the solar eclipse. And it reminded me of the prophecy in Joel that said the sun would be darkened and the moon would be turned to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the second calf that year in 2014 was born in Gateway, Texas. It was beautiful, all red with a beautiful white 7 smack on its face. Its whole face had a white 7 on it. Now, the red heifer was the sin offering. So all I could think of was, okay, sin and the gate in Texas, the border, mess, United States, and that's what's happening. And then when I put two and two together, the 2024 election will bring it right up to 2028. if it was 2014, the first seven-year period, because I consider the two calves two seven-year periods, according to the dreams of Joseph and the Pharaoh, you know, the 7 years on the cow. But the first seven-year period, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, now we were in the black, and we had the 7 years. It was good. Biden took over in 2021. That began the second seven-year period of the red heifer, which was the sin offering. And what did he do? Fling open the gates of Gateway, Texas, and has kept them open since. And the sin and the fentanyl and the child trafficking and all the despicable has been just coming over the border, you know?
Yep.
So that's my sneaky suspicion. I hope and pray I'm wrong. I really do. You know, how can we be a sovereign nation with what they're doing to us?
I'm ready for the Lord.
That in your ear, a little birdie told me.
The Lord's going to come back when He's good and ready, and we're waiting for it. It can't be soon enough for me.
Right, but He always warns His people first when something's up.
Warnings are all around us. I mean, they're all around us, but people don't get it.
He's been warning us for sure.
Yep.
So I didn't know if you happened to see those cows or not. I have pictures around here somewhere trying to dig them out to mail them.
I remember we did something in the church. We had a program in the church about all of that. And so,
did you get to see them?
We did. We had some films. They showed some films. I remember the red heifer, but I don't remember.
The white seven on its face, yeah?
Yeah.
And the same year there was a black one born with a seven, one in Philadelphia. One in Gateway, Texas, you know, which leads me to believe if 2021 started the second seven-year period, that means the 2024 election will bring it up to the 2028, and then they're talking about this whole 2030 agenda. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
So we got to keep our eyes open, keep praying, keep our eyes open, and like he said, as soon as we see these things begin to happen, to look up, for our redemption is drawing near.
Amen.
He tells us to always be watching and waiting. Even in Israel, the rabbis say they have found the perfect red heifer that they've been looking for 100 years, and they've found that heifer. So even they think it's getting very close.
So, all right, thanks, Natalie. I got to move on. Who do we have next? Let's go out to San Diego with Bonnie. Bonnie, you're in the air.
Hi, hey, Pastor Ernie. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, I'm trying to make it. I'm having a lot of problems. Hopefully, you can help me with it. And I feel like it's the cancel culture. I mean, I've really been having a rough time. I'm not getting my Social Security check this month, and my retirement check has been held up. And I went before the city council because of I have property, and they all but condemned my property and said I didn't have permits to build, and that I had to tear it down. Well, I gave them the permit, and I also gave them a copy of my rental agreement between me and the city, and that I pay taxes on. And after that, they left me alone, but they wouldn't close the case, and so my I'm being penalized for that. And I've hired two attorneys, and they can't do anything. And it's just one thing after another. And so I even think that they're monitoring my calls because I went to I had an appointment at the dental office at Western Dental, and I thought it was the next day, and they called and told me, no, it's today. You need to be here at the doctor. Drove all the way down here just for you, and he's waiting. If you can be here by 12:30, he'll see you. Well, I got there before 12:30. There was not one person in the doctor's office, and they told me he left. I said, you told me that I have a few minutes to get here, and she said, well, he's gone. And so, but whatever I do, and if I call somebody and make an appointment, everything changes by the time I get there. And and then there was so many things that has happened. I had Window World. They do windows for solar. So I was trying to get my house done for the solar windows, and they said my credit didn't go through, but I gave them a deposit. And so they said they were going to give me the deposit back. They never did. And so
hold tight, Bonnie. We're up against the break. We'll be back right after this.
None are so wholly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehood till wrong looks like right in their eyes. For all of those with eyes that can see, whose spirits are quickened by words they can hear, the truth is alive and he lived as a life was a gift to this world. And if he has called you, this mystery will soon be revealed. And it will set you free. The truth will set you free. Just like he set me.
And the
All righty, we are back. And Joe, listen, would you pray for the Lord's intervention to help Bonnie out there in California? She's got, seems like she has a whole litany of problems. Could you ask the good Lord for her, for intervention?
I sure would. And I want y'all, all of you that are listening, to pray along with me, because one of these days you will need prayer. I can pretty much guarantee it.
Amen.
And there is much power in the prayer.
Yep.
Dear Heavenly Father, we listen to a woman who sounds like the world is caving in on her. There is something terribly wrong. And from where I am, I have no ideas. But, Lord, you know who she is. You know what is confronting her, what evil, what problems are happening. And, Lord, I would just ask that you would bless her in every conceivable way, that you would intercede on her behalf and help her get things straightened out in her life and see that she has some peace. There may be some unrepentant sin that she hasn't acknowledged. There, you know, I can only guess at things. But, Lord, you know the answers. And I would just ask that you watch over this woman, that you would bless her, that you would protect her and see her through. We ask this in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Okay. Thanks, Bonnie. I have to move on. Who do we have next there? We have a whole board lit. We have Thomas. Thomas, you're in the air.
Hey, hi, Reverend.
excuse me. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Thomas.
We have the biggest problem. Our men of God are fraudulent. We need to step to our own people and straighten this out. You know, listen to what I've heard, that we don't have to do anything to go to heaven, that God don't mind you being rich, that Moses didn't see the promised land because he stuck the rock with his staff, and that's not what God said. These are lies, man. I mean, where are they getting this from? They are telling lies. They are fraud. You know, it's a shame they can't be held accountable for being frauds.
Well, you know, the prosperity movement there, Thomas, the prosperity mm-hmm. movement, the ones we were talking about earlier, they teach that repentance is not necessary for salvation. And it's totally contrary to what Jesus taught and all the apostles.
Yeah. And where they get it from? Where they get it from?
Well, I got pretty good idea where they're getting it from. From the old
father, the devil is where they get it from.
Their father, the devil. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that one can't be in right here with us so I can ask him that question. But I don't think he's going to have an answer. And the answer is going to be retarded, you know. So we need to straighten our own people out, you know, our men of God, because they are leading people the wrong way. People love sin, you know, so they for it. And any way, say, fast and form, they can try to hide it and call it something else. You know, for a pastor to say that God don't mind you being rich, I mean, come on. And you know what, Pastor, it's the people's fault that do this, that go for this. I mean, they don't mind being played for straight.
They play out, some of them, they're played off their greed. They're off their greed. Their heart is not with the Lord. They're, you know, it's just like what happened. You know, remember when Jesus fed, you know, the 5,000, as long as he was providing things for them, they followed him. But remember what happened. As soon as he quit feeding them, when the food wasn't there, neither were they. Okay. Anyhow, let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, interesting about the prosperity preachers. But if you look at James as a preacher and Ezekiel as a preacher, James is saying at the end of that, he's kind of critical to the rich. And then in chapter 5, he's saying, he who is in trouble, he should pray. And then he's talking about the effective prayer of a righteous person. I don't know if people consider themselves righteous, but if you look at James as a preacher, he's basically saying that people should deal with God directly for the most part. And then Ezekiel, I think, in chapter 20 is saying, between me and you twice. That's the chapter where he's he mentions Obama, or maybe that's Barack Obama, and then he's talking about the rest.
Obama there meant the high place where they sacrifice children. Mm. The primary definition for Obama, it was the high place, which is heaven. But the secondary, and was used there, they used that in that little town there where they had set up the altars and they sacrificed their children, is no longer there. There's nothing there nowadays. It's totally been totally deserted.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why somebody would want a plane or a train. You know, I can understand gold bars from the senator, why, you know, that's small, but, you know, again, I think these preachers should be just emphasizing the direct personal relationship with the Lord if they were sincere. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, you can't worship God and mammon. Their God is mammon.
Yeah.
Their God is mammon. Look, when you have people like T.D. Jake say that Jesus is our product, he's what we sell. Then you have pieces like Kenneth Copeland that says you can take the Bible. He holds up the Bible, and he says you can make God come across. In other words, you can shake God down. You can use this word to make him give you material things. What kind of a mind is that? That's a criminal mind. When this guy is telling you you can extort God, and then you have these others out there, you know, I just can't believe what's his name who made the Jesse Duplantis. I listened to Jesse Duplantis, and I heard him say, and he's telling these women, that God calls on him from time to time. God calls on him for advice. He told these women that. And these women said, what does he ask you for? Unbelievable. But that's how these guys are. And then just unbelievable. And so, and remember what Gloria Olstein, Joel's wife, said. It's not about God. This whole thing's not about God. It's about us. Wait till God finds out, huh?
Yeah.
He may not be as surprised as some people think.
Yeah.
But I think when James says the effective prayer of a righteous person, I don't know, that's a little bit of a difficult thing, because you can't automatically say you're righteous, a given individual, even if you're listening to James preaching at that time. You know what I mean?
Well, no.
What he's saying, if you understand enough that God wants you praying for other people, that you care enough about others to heartfeltly pray for them, for God to help them, save them, whatever you're praying for them, that's showing that you're pretty righteous. You're not perfect, but you're doing the will. A righteous man does the will of God, and what does God tell us to do? Pray and love one another. So that explains what he's trying to tell you.
Right.
Okay, if you were listening to him, yeah.
So he's talking about a person that has an obedient heart, that their righteousness comes from God himself.
Yeah.
So that's what he's saying.
And you're being obedient to him shows, you know, he gives you that righteousness through obedience.
Yep. All right, okay. Thanks, Cliff. I got to move on. Right. Who do we have over there next? Okay, you know what? How much time do I have? All right, Joe, I think we're going to take a little more time and get to something that's very more important than anything else we do here, and that's
right.
the gospel message here. And so I wanted to talk about what is the very first thing. We just mentioned it there about repentance, the Word of Faith movement says that you don't need repentance for salvation.
Oh, but Jesus, the first word in his ministry was the word repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Matthew 3:2, huh? Now,
right.
That was the very first message. Yeah. Well, that was the first message, too.
The wages of sin is death, and then there's about four or five verses on the forgiveness of sins that you have to repent for. So it's God makes it pretty clear.
So this was the message of John the Baptist as he preached in the wilderness of Judea to the people who thronged about him. It was timely a message. It was appropriate for his day, but and it was also very appropriate for our day. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. So sinners must repent in order to be saved. Backsliders must also return to Jesus and repent. This is God's plan, God's way. There is no other alternative, nothing that can take its place, no other way at all. Good works won't do it. Catechisms won't do it. Education won't do it. Just quitting one's sins won't do it. And merely turning around in the road won't do it. One must repent in order to be saved. And God says so. And he means it.
Yep. So what? Look at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was praying for his people. He was praying repentance, that they had sins, they committed iniquity, they've done wickedness. And he's going that the people might turn from our iniquities, understand your truth, you know, and understanding that their wages of sin is death. There's a judgment, a punishment for our sins. So even back then, he's praying for his people for their repentance.
So what does God say that repentance is, Will? It's godly sorrow for sin, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repentant, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. That's 2 Corinthians 7:10. So that doesn't mean that doing a little something to ease the guilty conscience. Godly sorrow is a deep, deep sorrow. It reaches every nook and every corner of the heart, mind, and soul. It goes to the very depth of one's being. It means that one is sorry for all his sins, because deeply repentant gives us all the sins, gives up all his sins, then goes out of the sinning business. Let me ask you this. Why should one be very, very sorrowful for their sins?
Because it was because of sin that Jesus had to go to the cross at Calvary. If it was only for one person, to save one person, he would have gone to that cross and did that substitutionary death to pay the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death, and he did a substitutionary death for our sins.
So God looks upon the hearts of people. So if you say, well, okay, look, here's a way out. I don't want to go to hell for sure. So I'm going to call upon, I'm going to ask for forgiveness, but I really don't care that much about what that Jesus suffered and the pain that he bore upon that cross. Is that godly repentance?
No, and that's not going to get you anywhere. You don't make deals with God. You don't make bargains. He doesn't do that. Repent means to turn from your sin and turn toward God, Godward, and start becoming a different person. A changed, a repentant heart is a person that starts to change what they're doing, how they're living.
Matthew 1:21 says, thou shalt call his name of Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Yep.
So here, when he said this too, in Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your sanctification and your deliverance is God's will. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Hebrews 13:12. Jesus also prayed that we might have the blessings. And so here, and that's the 17th chapter of John, if I remember. Praise God, the blessings is for you, regardless of all the opposition, folks out there, that we have. We have a lot of opposition. And today, Joe, I'm hearing from a lot of people, I mean, more and more people are getting distraught. I had a lady tell me today, they never stop. Meaning the devil's children, the liberals out there, the communists, the Democrats, So they never stop. They just continually come up with more and more wicked things, more and more evil. And so what is the devil's plan? Is it to dishearten, discourage us? Are we to be discouraged?
Anything he can to turn us from God, whether it's fear, anger, discouragement, he's doing everything he can to separate us from God.
Okay. Why should we not be discouraged?
You know, whatever.
Why should we not be discouraged?
Because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world.
Amen. All right. Joe, go ahead. You've got about 3 minutes to say and have the people say the sinner's prayer. And, don't take it out too long because you don't only have that much time. And right. We'll repeat after you.
I just want to start with 1 John 1-9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Matthew tells us that the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins. If we want to accept Jesus' wonderful, wonderful gift of salvation, of everlasting life, we must truly sit down and in our heart realize that he went to that cross and he died. He took my place. He took my sins and nailed them. They were nailed on that cross with him. He paid the price for my sins and your sins. And that should make us all weep that someone who has loved us enough to do that for us.
1 minute.
So we have to call upon Father God and with that repentant heart call out to him for mercy, to forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I am so sorry for what I did, Father, the sins I have committed against you. And if we do that earnestly, pray to God, he will forgive us. And then we can call, Lord Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I'm willing to give myself to you completely, without reservation, to turn my life over to you. And I want to become that child of the kingdom. I want to become a son or daughter of the living God. I want to be that born-again believer, that new creature. And Jesus, I would ask that you give me that indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And that is my down payment. Lord Jesus, I just do this without any reservation, hesitation. And if you do that and you earnestly talk to the Father, forgiveness, Jesus, be Lord of your life.
Amen. We are out of time for tonight. So, Joe, as we get here at this place every night, we say good night.
Night. Yes.
God bless.
God bless.
Always, always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.